we can't do that. We can't do that. No.
Yeah, we are. We're in big with
the beginning of the Christmas dinner.
Yeah. Okay, quiet! We needed your voice. Now,
we offer a prayer before our meal. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Today we gather on Christmas Day. We welcome once again the rebirth of Christ into the world and into our lives. We are very, very grateful for the blessings which we've experienced this last year, especially for that of good health. Remember those who are not with us today, parents, grandparents, friends, family. We ask your blessings upon this meal. We ask your blessings upon the year ahead of us. We ask this in all through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Okay, we're now in the kitchen. This is the sound of the kitchen at work. Have you got anything to say, madam?
Red sauce is heating up very nicely.
Thanks very much. That's my sister, Patricia, there. Now she's doing well. Have you got anything to say, sir?
Yorkies,
this is the carving of the ham.
This is the carving of the ham.
Is the knife sharp
enough? And the last thing I need now are tweeters.
Okay,
take me over my life.
Okay, there we are.
I sharpened the knives before I brought them over.
Oh, sorry. He's on a rant.
Yeah, thank you.
Dee, how are you doing?
That's fine, yeah.
How are you doing, Frank?
I'm doing very well now, thank you. Well, my shoulder's very sore. It's a rotator cuff injury.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, it's actually
I heard about
sore.
That. Jim is the same problem.
No, he got fixed.
Oh, he got fixed, yes.
I'm you're the
archivist,
are you?
I'm the archivist, absolutely. I like Frank saying, you know, tables or plates to number six.
These are for
that's for this is it. This is the serving of the main course. Who made the stuffing? It looks bloody good. What's that?
Made the stuffing.
But it connects us all to some of the people in our past. It's mostly a story about Limerick City, and it starts over 300 years ago in 1690. Limerick was a very important city in Ireland, second to Dublin, a thriving port, and a strategic town for the south of Ireland. Ireland was in political turmoil at the time. The famous battle called the Battle of Boyne had taken place up north, and the forces of the Williamite army, and we'll have a boo for him.
Okay? Yay!
This is a political sort of a story, so we'll have a cheer and a boo. That's
fine.
Up, William!
Feel free to join in if you have your own bits to toss. The year is 1690.
Up, William!
The Jacobite forces. Hey! Had been defeated in the Battle of the Boyne. And they retreated down south, to the fine city of Limerick.
Limerick!
Except Limerick City, the defences of it were not as fine as they had thought. The walls were crumbling, the gates were rotting.
Where are the Polish buildings?
And in fact, the leaders of the Jacobite forces, who happened to be French at the time, gave up all hope. And they said, we can't defend this city. The walls are crumbling. The cheese is disgusting. We are going to Galway. So they headed off over Thomond Bridge and headed north, leaving a handful of Irish officers to defend the city with 14,000 men. The Williamite army came to Limerick.
Are we still in 1690?
And surrounded the city in 1690. The people were going to get hungry. And the word went out around the countryside, send in your oats and your barley.
Send in your...
on a farm out in Shanagolden, a young boy witnessed his father and his uncles taking in the harvest early. We were in July, August 1890. He watched them load up
1690.
He watched them load up the trailers, and he drove with them at the age of six into Limerick City. And he proudly helped unload the sacks of oats to feed the good citizens of our town.
Hey! Hey! The hero! Wow.
He went back out to his farm in Shanagolden with trepidation in his heart. Even though he was only 6 years old, he knew there was big stuff coming. King William arrived on the outskirts of Limerick.
Boo. Oh, sorry.
He had a little laugh. He looked around and said, "This town, it'll fall in a day." So he took mercy upon the citizens and he sent word in that they could surrender if they wished. But he hadn't shown quarter to those who had lost at the Battle of the Boyne, so they told him to go away.
Oh, a likely story.
The scene was set, and he sent for the siege train to come up from Waterford. A siege train wasn't on rails. It was a series of huge cannons, siege busters. They were sent up, and they were to surround the walls of the southern part of the city, destroy the walls, and they would rush in and put to death the 14,000 defenders of our city.
Aww.
He set up camp on the outskirts, and the siege train made its way towards Limerick.
Again.
Thanks to a deserter from the Williamite army who made his way into Limerick City.
Mere trifle.
Patrick Sarsfield.
Patrick Sarsfield, an officer in the Irish army. One of the bravest men ever born in this country. He heard of this defender, this deserter, and he took him to one side and he listened to the story that was to be told. And he heard the story of the 14 enormous cannons and the 18 secondary cannons that were going to lay our city to the ground. He knew the train was coming, and he gathered a handful of brave men, and they rode out from Thomond Bridge up to Clare Castle and gathered a band of more men, 500 in all. They headed north to Killaloe, they crossed the river, and they met with a wild and talented man called Galloping Hogan. A rapparee and a man who knew the countryside like the back of his hand. He led them over the hills, through the forests, and in the distance they could see the dust of the siege train coming, and they lay in wait. The soldiers were well fed, lackadaisical, sure of a certain victory the next day. An informer amongst the ranks, over whose land they had gone, sent word to the Williamite army.
Boom.
That Sarsfield was on his way to attack the siege train.
Mind you.
But King William didn't feel threatened. He sent word a little bit too late. He sent 1,000 men off to track Sarsfield and 1,000 men to defend the siege train. Thanks to the generosity and kindness of Patrick Sarsfield to an old beggar woman who had been in the camp that day, he learned the password. And through a delightful irony, they had chosen his surname as the password guarding the siege train. That night at 3 a.m., Patrick Sarsfield himself rode down from the hill to the guard surrounding the siege train. The guard who was there said, "Halt! What's the password and who are you?" And Sarsfield rushed forward with his sword and said, "Sarsfield is the word, and Sarsfield is the man." And he rode through the camp with the 500 brave defenders and scattered the soldiers that were defending the train.
Poor defenseless creatures.
He scattered them. They woke in the middle of the night and they took off to the Williamite army. And Sarsfield rounded up all the cannons, filled them with gunpowder and buried them in the ground. He poured more gunpowder over them approximately 40 cannons were buried in the ground. And he gave the honour to the galloping Hogan to light the fuse. They retreated a safe distance, lit the fuse. And the explosion that came after that is the largest man-made explosion ever in Ireland. It lit up the sky as bright as day. It woke people sleeping in County Clare. And the young boy who helped his father load up the trailer with oats was woken in the middle of the night. He went outside and it was as bright as day. He knew that the city had been saved. Sarsfield rode back in, the siege train was destroyed, the weather turned, William was unable to get fresh cannons in time, and a truce was negotiated. The city was saved.
Yeah.
That young boy, his name was Daniel Hishon, grew up, and the flash and the sound of that night was etched in his memory. For him, it represented injustice and the rights of the people. And he told the story for many years after, and he helped, as a son of a wealthy farmer in County Limerick, he helped those around him who were suffering injustice and eviction from their land. When his own grandson was born in 1779, also called Daniel, he passed on the stories to him. Daniel in turn grew up and had a son, William E. Hishon, who made it his life's task to defend people who were being evicted from their land in Ireland and people who were suffering through unjust rents. He became politically active. He was a friend of Daniel O'Connell. He helped him get elected. He happened to have 9 children at the same time, one of whom was a
non-couplets.
Beautiful young lady called Sarah Hishon.
Well, she was then.
She was the daughter.
And William, Daniel had a son, William, who was born in 1798, another year of rebellion in Ireland. He lived for 96 years, and he passed on his values to his children. Only 4 years after William E. Hishon died, my father was born, although it was many generations on a different line of family. And ultimately, those values passed on through us. That boy who heard the story, or who saw the flash, and passed on the story to his grandson was Daniel Hishon. He was your great, 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 great grandfather.
Wow.
He dedicated his life to making, to bringing justice to people who worked on farms, suffered severe rents and injustice, who were evicted. He in turn was evicted from his land, but that's a whole other story. All of those values that single line in the family have been passed on to you. Everything that you have in your life, all of the values, the majority of them are things that were passed on to you genetically. It's a scientific fact. Many more values will come and be shaped by yourselves through your own family environment. There's no question of DNA, but what you're made up of comes from the people who went before you. This story is about a single line of the family. It's a particular grandson of the child in the story, as I say, was for all my nieces and nephews and children, your great, 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 great grandfather. This is just one story. You actually have 64 of them and 64 great, 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 great grandmothers. So there's a huge amount of stuff out there. And they all make up you.
To Peter Hishon. To Peter Hishon.
Great.
But.